Take your Bibles, if you will. We'll be looking at John chapter number 4 as we continue our series, Which Faith? And this series spawns from a question that Pilate had asked our Savior face to face. He asked the question, what is truth? What is truth? And today, in this day and age we live in, especially, people all over are asking that same question, what is truth? What is real? There's so many forms of what everybody says is truth and what is truth. And so we're looking at various, so to say, options that the world offers compared to the truth of Jesus Christ. We've looked at global warming versus the second coming. Which one should we really be concerned with? We've looked at various things like creation versus evolution, various options that the world wants to give to replace the truth of the Word of God. And so today we're going to look at grace or works. We're going to deal more with religion today. Now, we've looked at different things such as secular thought and philosophy, but we're going to look at religion today, which faith, grace, or works. And there's really two religions out there. When it comes down to it, you say, Pastor, there are thousands, actually there are millions of gods out there. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of religions. But I say there's only two. There's a religion that says do, and there's a religion that says done. Either you have to do something to earn eternity and whatever you believe is beyond this life, or what Christ has done for you is sufficient, and eternal life in heaven. It's either do or done. And so there's really two ideas out there, one being truth and one being religion. And religion is works, and Christianity is grace. And so is it grace or is it works? John chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. The Bible says, when therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh me drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. By your Spirit, through your word, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as Jesus left the city of Jerusalem in John chapter 4, the Bible tells us that there were many things happening at that time. For instance, Herod, a wicked king, had just arrested John the Baptist. Jesus had just cleared out the temple in Jerusalem because people were using God's house to make money. When Jesus cleared them out, it made the Pharisees upset. So now Jesus goes from Jerusalem, and he's going to go to a city called Sychar. And on his journey, he becomes thirsty. In Sychar, Jesus finds a well of Jacob, to be specific, very famous well, a very well-known well. It is here that Jesus confronts a woman with many problems due to past sin. And he gives her a message of grace. This woman had an understanding of religion of her fathers, but this woman did not have salvation. And I want to take a moment this morning as we look at one day in the life of Jesus Christ and take notice of the wonderful grace of our Savior. And I want to ask this question, what do you really believe? Do you believe in grace or works? What is truth? Is grace truth or is works truth? I want to notice, first off, God's grace comes to us. I want to notice his grace comes wherever we are. Look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and he must needs go through Samaria. Now, Jesus had a great obligation in his heart, and he needed to go to Samaria. Now, we know that Jesus, and all his all-knowing omniscience, doesn't do anything by accident. In fact, if you study the geography of this, the direction of going through Samaria was not the preferred direction. First off, a lot of Jews especially did not want to go near Samaria. They did not want to go into Samaria. If they met a Samaritan, they would wash their hands of it. They wouldn't even shake their hands. They wouldn't go into a Samaritan's house to eat. They looked down upon them. And so a Jew going through Samaria, that was not preferable. But if you look at the traveling as well, the direction they went through, there was much more chance of being mugged and mobbed. There was not as much water in which to travel with. And so he took the less preferable way. But Jesus does nothing by accident. Jesus didn't come that day just for water in the well. He came for a woman he would meet at that well. John 1:14, if you go back, the Bible says there, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm so glad that Jesus came down to this earth, aren't you? Aren't you glad that God came and became a man so that he might die for our sins? His grace comes down to us. We call this the incarnation. That is what we celebrate. By the way, you say, by humbug, if anybody celebrates or dare mentions Christmas before Thanksgiving. Okay, Christmas Nazis. Let me say this. I'm more excited about Christmas than probably is acceptable. It's probably taboo at this time. But I mentioned, even on Facebook, some people, I think I got some people mad at it. I said that the snow that comes in November is evidence that God decorates for Christmas before Thanksgiving. You know? So you're just going to have to take it up with him. There's nothing wrong with being excited about the birth of Jesus Christ in November. Amen? There's nothing wrong with being excited about the birth of Jesus Christ in July or August. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm excited and I'm so thankful that he came down to us. Amen? I'm glad that he came down to us. Samaria was a place that Jesus came to because he came to this woman. Samaria was politically dangerous. Samaria was under the control of Herod. He wanted to stop John the Baptist. He wanted to stop Jesus. It was a dangerous route to take. Samaria was a culturally unacceptable place. The Samaritans were a mixed breed of half Jew and half Gentile. So the Gentiles looked down on them for being Jewish, and the Jews looked down on them for being Gentile. Nobody liked them. None of that mattered to Jesus, however. You see, when you have eyes filled with grace, you do not see people based on their background, on their race, on their culture, on their past sin. You simply see them as people who need the grace of God. Amen? Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't pick a specific race. He didn't pick a specific social standing. He came to die for all of us. Every one of us. And so we see the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So we see that God's grace comes to us. It comes wherever we are. And then I want to notice that God's grace comes to whoever we are. Verse number 7. The Bible says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Now, you'll notice that it was not the woman who initiated the conversation. Again, if you understand Jewish culture, if you see a Samaritan, you just try as much as you can not to make eye contact, to avoid talking to them. You walk out of the way. That's how they treated them. But Jesus initiated the conversation. He started the conversation. I like what 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says. But the Bible says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. By the way, doesn't that really go against Calvinism? Amen? All men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants everybody to be saved. God does not just want a few people to be saved. Rather, he wants everybody to have this opportunity. Notice that this is a whosoever salvation. Her race, her gender, her social status, her past life did not matter to Jesus. That did not hinder him wanting to give her salvation. This was a woman who came to get her water at the very hottest time of the day because she had wrecked 5 homes already. She was a woman that people talked about and gossiped about. She was a woman with a very shady past. And so she went to the well at the time that she knew nobody else would be there. She chose the hottest part of the day. Let me say that you may have thought that it was some person who maybe invited you to church when you got saved, or maybe somebody that came to your house that shared the gospel, or maybe it was a family member. Maybe you have a person in your mind that reached out to you. But let me say this, ultimately, it was not man that reached out to you. It was God who reached out to you. It was Christ who brought you to him. He reached out to you. There's a man named Mr. Phillips. Mr. Phillips had some people who were breaking into his shed. He called the police. He called the dispatcher. And the dispatcher said, "We don't have any police available in that area." And Mr. Phillips said, "That's all right. I have a gun. I'll just shoot them." Amen? And if you want to send somebody out, I'll take care of it. Aren't you glad that we have a Savior who will come to us wherever we are? We don't have to wonder if he can make it out to our area. Amen? But he will come wherever we are. Folks, I want you to know that there is no area that Jesus won't come to. You don't have to take drastic matters in order to get God's attention. You have God's attention. His grace is always ready. Revelation 22:17, the Bible says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Come. And let him that heareth, come. And let him that is thirsty, come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." We have a whosoever salvation. You know, God's grace gives to us. God's grace gives forgiveness. Look at verse number 10, if you will. "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." You know, Jesus didn't come there to sell her something. You know why so many people do not want us coming near their house as soul winners? Because somehow we've put in their mind that we're there to get something from them. We're there. I kid you not. When we were in Maryland, I actually had somebody that came to our house. They were from a Baptist church, and they said, "Hi, we're from such and such Baptist church. We are in deep debt. Would you consider coming to our church and helping us?" That was their soul-winning approach. I kid you not. No wonder the world looks at us as if we want something from them. And Jesus didn't come to her trying to sell her something. It wasn't some product that he was trying to offer her. He wasn't trying to enlist her for his religion. He wasn't doing that. He wasn't doing as the Jehovah's false witnesses do, that they try to enlist people for their religion. Romans 5:19, the Bible says, "For as by one man's disobedience," talking about Adam, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." That is the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I will forgive you. My grace is sufficient for you." And so his grace gives forgiveness. Aren't you glad for that today? And then I want to notice his grace gives eternal life. Look at verse number 11, if you will. "The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." Many people middle age or older can agree with what James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." How many would say amen, Pastor? I've noticed that. I've noticed that. Sin brings death. Sin brings judgment. But grace brings forgiveness, and grace brings everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, Jesus offered this woman eternal life in accordance to Romans 6:23, and it is only obtained through Jesus Christ, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace is not something you can earn by church membership. You can have a perfect attendance pin, and that's not going to earn you salvation. Baptism can't give it to you. Your catechism classes that you may have gone to cannot give it to you. Billy Graham, I was told a story one time about Billy Graham, and there's different opinions and views on him, but I like the story. Billy Graham one time was speeding, and he got pulled over, got a ticket. So he stood before the judge, and the judge said to Billy Graham, he said, "Are you Billy Graham?" He said, "Yes." He said, "I was saved at one of your crusades." He said, "I'm so thankful." He said, "I'm going to rip up your ticket." And the judge ripped up his ticket. And then he said, "Are you doing anything for dinner time?" He said, "Well, no." He said, "Could I take you for a steak dinner?" He said, "Sure." So what Billy Graham deserved was a fine for his speeding. What he got was a pardon and a steak dinner. Amen? That's mercy and grace. By God's mercy, we don't get what we do deserve. And by his grace, we get heaven, which is far better than a steak dinner. Amen? It's even better than a Ruth's Chris steak dinner, which I'm told is good. I've never had. We'd have to take out a loan to get one. His grace is sufficient. His grace is good. Here, Romans 3:23, the Bible says, 3:24 and 25, the Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God have set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. You see, we are justified freely by his grace. God's grace freely gives us eternal life. That word justified, one person defined it this way so you can remember, it means just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. When God the Father looks at us through the blood of Jesus Christ, he sees us just as if we'd never sinned. I think that's a good definition. You see, God says, by my grace, I'm going to do more than just forgive you. I'm going to do more than just rip up your ticket. But there's a steak dinner involved in that too. You're going to spend eternity in heaven. You're going to one day be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. God has so much more than just a pardon. He has eternal life, and I'm going to make it just as if you'd never sinned in the first place. All your guilt, all your shame, all your reproach is gone. You ever do something in your life? You have something, maybe one event in your life that if you could just erase one thing, it would be that. I have good news for you. Even that has been erased if you've accepted Christ. That has been erased, and it will never be brought up again to God the Father. It's been taken care of. If this woman would have just earned her way to heaven, she would have had to go a long, long way to go. And she'd never have made it. In fact, if salvation was something we had to earn, she would have had a lot of wonder. She would have had a lot of worry. She would never truly have confidence in whether she was going to make it there or not. She'd always be thinking, "I hope I'm good enough. I hope my good outweighs my bad. I hope there's a chance I'll be in heaven." You know, for people who it's by their own works, you're never have confidence to say, "I know I'm going to heaven." You can never have that confidence. But God says, "Oh no, it's not about you. It's all about my Son, Jesus Christ. It's not about how good you are, because you're not good and I'm not good. It's all about how good he is. It's all about the sinless perfection of Jesus Christ, the blood that he shed for you and I on Calvary. It's all about him. Quit making it about you." Amen? Your salvation is about Him. I want to notice God's grace secures us. God's grace will give us security in His love. Look at verses 16 through 18, if you will. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. By the way, Jesus knew that. Amen? I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that sayest thou truly. She wasn't giving him news there. He already knew that. He knew how many husbands she had had. She knew how many homes had been wrecked. You know, God's grace will give us security in His love. Religion is an interesting thing. You know, a lot of people have religion, but they have no idea whether they're going to heaven or not. Religion often brings insecurity, but the grace of God will always bring security to us by His love. You know, here's a woman who knew very little about true love. That may be your story, by the way. Maybe you grew up in a house where there was very little love, if any. Maybe you're in a relationship where there is very little love, and maybe this world has offered you very little love. Here is a woman who had been married five times. Five different times she had some man who had caressed her and looked her in her eyes and said, I love you. I will never leave you. You will always be my true love. And five times she knew the world's kind of love, and every time she was abandoned. Maybe that's your story. Maybe you can relate to that. The world can be harsh. The world can be unloving. What the world calls love is really selfish lust. There's no security in the world's kind of love. It's kind of like the woman who told Winston Churchill. She said if he was her husband, she would put arsenic in his drink. And many of you know the rest of the story. He said, ma'am, if you were my wife, I would drink it. I would drink it, you know. That's a world's kind of love, isn't it? There's a lot of sin and hate in this world. This woman had five failed marriages. She was living in adultery. But God came to her and loved her. And He said, you don't have to do anything to earn my love. It's already there, and it's there to stay. And I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm here to tell you today that God loves you no matter what you've done. He loves you. I want to notice God's grace will give us security without works. Someone here may say, well, that's what the Baptists believe. But in my religion, we believe you have to earn your way to heaven. Well, that's funny because this woman brought up her religion too. She says in verse number 20 there, she said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. She's bringing her religion up. Some say that the two things people can't discuss in public are religions and politics, right? Religion and politics. I actually knocked, this was several years back, but I knocked on a woman's door while I was witnessing, and she answered the door, and I said, hi, I'm Alan Waddell. I'm from First Baptist Church of Garden City. And that woman, before I was able to say another word, actually, I think I said, I'd like to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you, or I'd like to ask you if you know for sure you're going to heaven. I think I got that far. And this is what the woman said. She just looked at me, and she went, taboo, taboo, taboo. And she just kept yelling that over, nothing else, over and over until I got off her porch and I left. And she even followed me towards the sidewalk, just following me going, taboo, taboo, taboo. I think there's a board game. Maybe she wanted to play a game. I don't know. I don't know. But that's the way the world looks at religion and politics. They think it's taboo. And so some say, well, you do it this way and we do it another way, and all roads kind of lead to heaven together, and it doesn't matter what you believe. And this woman at the well was trying to brush off the conversation by showing, hey, I already have religion. I already have that. I don't know how many people I've talked to, and I've said, hi, I'm here to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd like to share with you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. I don't know how many people have said this to me, where somebody has said, that's not for me. I already have. I'm a good person. I already have church. You need to talk to that person over there. 9 out of 10 times when somebody says you need to talk about that person over there, it's them that needs it. It's them that needs it. They're trying to brush you off. And that's what this woman's saying. She's saying, I already have religion. I already have a set of beliefs. Thank you very much. I'm good. I'm good with that. I'm good with what I have. This woman at the well is trying to brush off the conversation, showing she already had religion. Religion, let me say, is just a fashionable substitute for belief in Jesus Christ. It's just a real fashionable substitute. Faith goes against man's pride. And you don't want something that goes against your pride. So why don't you try religion anyway? Everybody's doing religion now. I mean, religion's a thing. You don't have to be called a sinner. You don't have to be told that you need to be saved. You don't have to be told that you need a relationship with God. Just try one of our religions. We'll tell you that you can do things and earn your way to heaven. And it's all on you, and you're good enough, all right? It goes against our pride. Our pride says we want to earn things. We want to be able to say, I did it, you know? I'm the one who got me here. I'm a self-made man. Our pride says, we tend to want to earn things. So we can say, hey, I did this. And that's how people are. That's why it's hard for them to humble themselves and accept the gospel for what it is. We didn't do anything. He did it all. It's not due. It's done. In Romans 4:4, now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Works do not bring about salvation. Works are merely a product of salvation. If you're saved, it will create works in your life. I believe that, by the way. I believe if you have the God of all creation move inside of you, something ought to change. Amen? How can you have something as big as God move in and nothing change? I believe salvation produces work, but let me say this. I do not believe that works produce salvation. I do not believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of your works, not of your abilities, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So as Pilate would ask Jesus face to face, what is truth? What is truth? Is it grace or is it works? The Bible I read tells us it's grace. You know, Henry Ford, one time I'm told, made a great big advertisement. He said this. He said, for every single person that can bring me a 1943 copper penny, I will give you a brand new car. And there were people everywhere looking through their change and finding 1943 pennies and all coming to him and saying, I have a penny. I'm going to claim my car. And he said, nope. Nobody got it. Why? Because in 1943, because of the war, they did not use copper to make pennies. And so a bunch of people were coming to him saying, look, I have one. And he said, no, you don't. They don't exist. And a work salvation doesn't exist either. People are trying everywhere to look through every way they can to try to earn an eternity in heaven. And it's like looking for a 1943 copper penny. You're never going to find it. We have nothing within ourselves to offer a holy God. We don't. And so God doesn't want you wondering if you're going to heaven. He wants you to know. In 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. If it is by works, you would never know that. You would never know you have eternal life. But here God is saying, I want you to know that. I want to know is God's grace will give us security in his promise. Look at verses 21 through 26. We'll close with this. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. This woman at the well says, I don't know what to believe. But I do know this. I know this. I know one day there will be one called the Messiah, one called Christ, and he is going to come and reveal all things. And when he does, I can trust whatever he says. And Jesus simply looks at this woman and says, I that speak unto thee am he. I'm he. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 11:25-26, Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And here's the question. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? You know, a man can go to heaven without wealth. A man can go to heaven without health. A man can go to heaven without honor. And a man can go to heaven without friends. But a man will never go to heaven without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You'll never go there. In John chapter 3, a man named Nicodemus had religion, but he did not know the Savior. In John chapter 4, a woman had religion, but she did not have eternal life. You see, my friends, the only way to heaven and the only way to have your sins forgiven is through Jesus Christ. No other way. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. I heard of a little boy. He wanted to go to Buckingham Palace. And every time he tried to go in, the guards shoot him off. No, you can't come in. In fact, nobody out there could go in. One day while the boy was trying to walk in, he really wanted to see what the inside looked like. A man came up and took the boy by the hand and said, you want to go in? He said, sure. He said, let's go in. And as they walked in, the guards moved out of the way. The gates opened, the doors opened, they walked right in. And that man was the Prince of Wales. Now listen to this. There is a God in heaven who loves you. He sent his son to pay for your sins on the cross of Calvary. And all you need to have eternal life is to simply take Jesus by the hand and let him walk you in. He'll do that today. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your word and the truth, Father. We just pray now that you would speak to hearts and change lives, Father. Father, if there's any that does not know you as their Savior, Father, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them, Lord. I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict their heart of a need that they have of a Savior, Father. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name.